Tory Malatia, welcome to Rhode Island.
Thank you.
Tell us, why did you want to become the president, general manager, and CEO of Rhode Island Public Radio, particularly after working for so long in a much larger market like Chicago?
There's an incredible commitment here to the mission of community service that is at the heart of what public media is about. There is a place in every community, I think, for an organization of professionals who are devoted to verified, high-quality information. What public media is really about is something that is much deeper, and that's community connectedness, the ability to use media resources to bring people together, to give them opportunities to learn from each other, to hear about different worldviews in an increasingly pluralistic society, and to use those opportunities to really enrich the future of sort of their common environment, what they share. And that belief is so deep in every staff person I talk to, every board person, and many of the longtime supporters. And I found it very attractive. I wanted to be part of it.
We know this is early on, but tell us about your vision for Rhode Island Public Radio. What kind of changes should listeners expect?
Well, the first thing is that I think that it's very important that any institution that is devoted to public service journalism draw upon the people it serves to determine its direction. There's a notion sometimes that journalism is somehow removed from the public that is consuming its work. And actually, the public is the source of its work. So the real answer to the question is that it's very important that we deepen the relationship with the community to find out exactly what the needs are. What are the prominent and most essential kinds of stories, kinds of bridges that need to be built between different groups of people who are trying to solve problems together, and how can Rhode Island Public Radio help? That information has to come from the community that is being served. It can't come from us to them. It's got to come the other way. And then, of course, we have to measure that. We have to make sure that we're doing exactly what people were hoping we would do. Are we achieving it? Are we covering enough of the stories that are meaningful? Are we missing important areas? Are we relevant to as many of the people who live and work in Rhode Island as possible? I would hope that what happens is that people feel there's an increasing commitment to relevant and useful in the sense of meaningful journalism, and that it becomes more of a part of everybody's daily life over time.
There's a lot of upheaval in the media industry these days, mostly due to the emergence of the internet. What does that mean for the wider world of public radio?
So radio is a distribution technology. And what you're talking about with the internet, with digital technologies, is other ways to distribute content, ways that are actually quite nice, quite convenient. They come to you as you need them, when you need them. You're able to store them. You're able to revisit them. Those are all tools that are used as a way of providing people the information and the stories and the ideas and the discussion and the content that they're looking for in ways that they find most appealing. What does it mean to radio? What it means is that radio is a distribution technology along with the others, and now there are other ways to do things. But I think it's a mistake to think of public media as radio or television. If what we're doing here is we're really committing to community journalism, then it's in the interest of the community as well as the reporters, the people who work very hard on this material, to have it distributed in every possible way. So I don't even think of Rhode Island Public Radio as a radio operation. I think of it as an institution devoted to public service journalism that uses radio and uses digital technology and uses in-person forums and events as ways in which that journalism can be shared and provided so that it has a vitality and a usefulness and an effect on all of the people who have the responsibility of shaping the future of the community.
Tell us about your early impressions of Rhode Island.
Rhode Island is an amazing place, and its history is astounding and humbling when you think of what it has stood for and how it has shaped American principles and the concepts that I think are very much a part of what are the highest aspirations of the founding fathers and generations thereafter. It is also a place that I think has developed a richness of community spirit and interaction. People here are very much interested in what's going on around them. They do not consider volunteerism or, you know, service to neighbors and so on as a burden. They see it as a normal part of life. In other words, they're not people who naturally find pleasure in being passive. They are active and engaged people who care about one another, and it is an amazingly rich place pluralistically. There's a diversity of people's backgrounds and circumstances of life, their worldviews, that I think make it a very satisfying place for thought and for cultural and artistic expression and just for a kind of sense of mutual responsibility to look after, I think, one another and the environment that everyone shares.
There are some anecdotal reports that you're a Chicago White Sox fan. I don't know whether
this is true.
It's not apocryphal.
This is quite true.
Is there a place in your heart for the Boston Red Sox, the New England Patriots, and perhaps more importantly, the correct pronunciation of Pawtucket?
Pawtucket.
He got it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I thank you very much. I will never say the word paw ever again, unless it has something to do with a four-legged animal.
Tory Malatia, thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you, too.